I'm going to read first from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 3. And it would be a good chapter to read all of it, but I won't. I'm just going to read from Romans 3, verses 21 to 31. But now the righteousness of God has been made manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that no one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Over the period of time that I've been here in Gateshead, and it's time's passing by so quickly, as I've shared, whether it's been through video, sometimes through the devotions, or as it's been as we've been gathering together on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and on a Friday evening, oftentimes I have made mention in my ministry of certain subjects regarding salvation and faith. And as I've mentioned these subjects, I've said they're too big to enlarge on at this moment, but sometime I will enlarge on them and bring studies from them. And the subjects I'm talking about are the subjects that we often link together of justification and of sanctification and of glorification. And another word that I'm going to put into the mix this morning, which I mentioned a couple of weeks ago on a Friday evening, and it is a word that is almost unheard of in preaching today, and that is the subject of mortification. And as I've talked about these or mentioned these subjects in brief, I've said that I would enlarge on them. And so this morning, I'm going to commence a series of studies looking at these subjects: justification, sanctification, glorification, and mortification. And just begin to look at them to understand, to get down into the detail of what these different words, all these subjects, which are important to our Christian faith, actually are talking about. We know that they're all linked to an individual being born again. And I'm not going to touch on the subject of being born again this morning. I've got something prepared on that, and I trust that we understand what I mean by being born again. And I trust that each one of us this morning is born again by the Spirit of God. But if you're not this morning, if you can't pinpoint, look back to a moment when you surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you asked him to come into your heart, to come into your life, when you realized that you were a sinner that needed to be saved. If you can't pinpoint back to a moment like that in your life, then you can do that today. And after I finish this morning, when the service is over, come to me and talk to me and say to me that you know, can't really say that you were born again, then we'd be glad to lead you to that point where you will know Jesus as your Saviour and as your Lord. And so these terms that I'm using this morning, justification, sanctification, mortification, glorification, are all subjects that are wrapped up in our being born again, new creations that have known Jesus as Saviour and as Lord. I'll just give a quick one-line description of each of the words, and they are this: justification. Justification is the act of declaring someone as being not guilty and as standing as righteous before a holy God. And we've all heard and perhaps used the phrase that justification is we're made as if, just as if we had never sinned. The sanctification is the process of making a person more holy. It is that process by which we become more like Christ Jesus. Mortification is all about a person dying to self, dying to the old nature, dying to the old sinful nature and the things that gratify the flesh. And glorification is concerning a person being changed from the state of what we are at this moment to that which will be eternal. As a song we used to sing, from glory to glory, he's changing me. And we are being changed. And that process of glorification will come to a perfect state when we're found in the presence of Almighty God. So as we look at these various aspects, there is a link between them, as they are all to do with getting rid of sin through new birth and through our ongoing desire to live lives that are pleasing before a holy God. Now, I remember as a young lad, and I've gone back now to the 1960s and the 1970s, and I can remember there as a young lad and in my teens that these subjects of justification and sanctification and glorification were often the subject of preachers. In particular, during a time of convention when we would have guest speakers coming, and often when they would come, you would find that these would be the themes that they would choose to speak on in the convention. The term I've used, mortification, was not preached so very often, and as I've said, it's almost rarely heard in the subjects of preaching today. But as I began to think of these subjects of justification, sanctification, and glorification, I began to wonder what would happen to some churches today if the pastors began to preach these subjects again, to seriously teach what it means to be justified, to seriously teach what it means to be sanctified and of what it means to be glorified. I actually think that in some churches, some of the members would be scared and would begin to run away when they begin to realize what the claims of the cross really are on a person's life when we claim to know him and want to allow him to be Lord in our lives. So the four words together, for want of a better way of expressing it, is the way or the process that we go from being sinners who are born again to being individuals who will eventually be found in the eternal presence of God. And what a day that's going to be, when we're going to stand in his presence, having gone through this process of justification, sanctification, mortification, and glorification, and found standing in the eternal presence of God. Another way of putting it is this: it is from being individuals who were depraved because of our sin and standing guilty before God, condemned to go to hell, but instead, as we've gone through that process, being found standing before God in heaven, innocent, not guilty, and in an unalterable eternal state, enjoying all that he has prepared for those who love him. So you see, these subjects are important. And the process involved in these subjects are important in your life and in my life as a believer. They're essential components to our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when it comes to salvation, there are many words we can use and talk about, and I'm just going to mention three this morning, and I'm not going to enlarge on them, other than the fact we can use the word regeneration, and that means the act of being made anew or born again, given new life and a new start. That's regeneration. There's reconciliation, which is the act whereby we are reconnected into a right relationship. We're reconciled again to the living God. And then there is the word transformation, which summarizes what actually takes place when we are born again. We are completely and utterly transformed into new creations. And that's wonderful. And that gives me an opportunity to quote my favorite verse of scripture. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and I'm going to just add to that for clarity, if anyone is born again, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We're given a new start. But as we're given that new start, there needs to be a process of taking place. The process of justification, the process of sanctification and mortification and justification. And so this is where these subjects fit in. So let's make a start. And it needs to be at the first subject that happens chronologically when we are born again. For at that moment, when we are born again, we are justified. We are justified. And rather than cram too much in one occasion, I'm going to look at them over a series of number of weeks. So, justification. What is justification? Well, one of the key elements of the Protestant Reformation and the basis of the Christian faith is that we believe that we are justified by faith. So when we talk about justification, we ensure that we say that we are justified by faith. That is, we are not saved through any effort of our own, be it good works, or getting religious, or following some guru, or some regime. We are saved on the basis of faith alone in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, through his death and through his resurrection. Mankind can only be saved by faith and through what Jesus has done for him. And so there are what we call the five onlys in the Christian faith. And these have come out of the Protestant Reformation. The five solas of the Reformation. And they are sola scriptura, which means scripture alone. Sola fide, which means by faith alone. Sola gratia, which means by grace alone. Solo Christus or solo Christo, which means Christ alone or through Christ alone. And then soli Deo gloria, which means glory to God alone. Five essential solas, five essential statements to keep us on track if we want to keep ourselves out of error. And it's the second way we are considering when we look at this subject of justification. Sola fide, by faith alone. Justification is a judicial term. A term that, when applied to an individual, declares that they are no longer guilty of whatever it is that they have done. And so, if it's a crime or an offence, when they are justified of that crime or justified of that offence, the judicial term says that it is obliterated from the record book. The individual becomes as if they had never committed the crime or the offense in the first place. It can never be held against them again. And when it comes to salvation, when it comes to being born again by the Spirit of God, justification is the judicial act of God whereby he declares a sinner, which we all were, to no longer be guilty. And this act of justification takes place at the moment when we come to the place of repentance and we confess and our personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. So the moment we repent, the moment we are forgiven, we are cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, our sin is washed away, and God looks upon us and declares us as no longer guilty. That's amazing. That's wonderful. He places us into a position of being justified, guilt-free. And we need to understand that it does not matter what sins we have committed beforehand, however vile they may have been, however damning they may have been. When we are justified, they are obliterated, giving us a standing before God as if we had never, ever sinned. Surely this is grace. This is amazing grace. But then we need to ask the question, how can God do this? How can he declare us as justified? Well, he does it because of the one who died in our place, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we believe, we are declared righteous, not because of anything we have done, but because of what the eternally righteous one, Jesus Christ, has done for us at Calvary. See, I, and when I speak of myself, I'm speaking of you as well, I could never, ever justify myself before God. No matter how hard I tried, no matter how good a life I might try to live, no matter how many times I might go to church or pray or read the Bible, no matter how many times I might go to a confessional or cling to rosary beads, there is only one way that the statement justified can be declared over my life, and it is through coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one whom God has sent to be the Saviour of the world, the only one who has lived a perfect life, a righteous life, to be able to pay what is needed to bring redemption. I can never be good enough. My works can be never good enough. Religion will never be good enough. But thank God that there was one who was good enough, and his name is Jesus. And it's through faith alone in him an individual can be justified and stand before God as not guilty. In the words of a hymn that we usually only sing around Easter time, there was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. So let's turn to some scripture. And although it may seem that I'm covering things that we already know or perhaps understand to a measure, it is good to remind ourselves as a means of reaffirming our faith and the position that we stand in before God. So firstly, works cannot justify us. We're all familiar with the verses found in Ephesians 2 that go like this: for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. But if we go back to the scripture that I've already read this morning, we read these words: but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified, there it is, by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. And then he goes on later in that chapter to say, for we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. So works cannot justify us. And we go into the next chapter, Romans chapter 4, and it says there, what then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our father, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. So we're not justified by works, but we're justified by faith. So from those same verses we learn that justification is by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. And that verse that we know so very well from Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And how do we have that peace with God? It is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And if you're hoping in the glory of God, or what that means is you're hoping in seeing the glory of God, there's only one way you're going to see it. And it is through justification by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thirdly, justification is something, and this is an old-fashioned word, but I'm going to bring it out this morning, and you don't find it in the modern versions. Justification is something that is imputed to us on the basis of what Christ has done on our behalf. It involves the righteousness of Jesus being given to us. That's what justification is all about. The righteousness of Jesus being given to you and given to me. In other words, we could say that while Jesus was dying on the cross, and we know that he was dying in our place, what we could say is this, that Jesus was actually standing in the dock on our behalf. He was standing in the dock on our behalf, and as a result, standing in the dock, he has paid all that is needed for God to be able to declare us as not guilty. And as a result, to justify us by imputing Christ's righteousness to us. Romans 4 again says, it will be counted to us who believed in him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Romans 5:18. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, leads to justification and life for all men. As I said, the word imputed is an old-fashioned word, and in the more modern versions, it is translated as counted or credited. So, for example, in King James Version, Romans 4:11 reads, that righteousness might be imputed unto them. But the English Standard Version says, so that righteousness would be counted to them. And the NIV says, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And the best way, perhaps, and it's a very poor illustration, is to think about that if somebody has got some wealth that they want to transfer to you, they want to impute it to you, they want to give it to you, they would put it in your bank. And so it is credited to you. Their wealth now becomes your wealth. Likewise, when we consider the righteousness of Christ, it's his righteousness. It's a perfect righteousness. But in dying for you and me, he is saying, I want to transfer, I want to impute, I want to credit my righteousness to you. And that is exactly what happens. As a result of this great work of justification in our lives, we stand before God as righteous. First, because he declares us as just. Secondly, because we're not standing in our own righteousness, but in that which has been credited to us, given to us from the Lord Jesus Christ. Songwriter puts it this way: I am covered over. What am I covered over with? I'm covered over with the robes of righteousness which Jesus gives to me. See, my own righteousness was like filthy rags. That's what the prophet Isaiah says. But because of what Jesus has accomplished in my place, I am clothed in his righteousness. And as a result, I can stand this morning before a holy God, acquitted, forgiven, justified, and righteous. So I've only touched this morning on this subject briefly. But I trust, and I'm going to say this phrase, and I'll explain it in a moment, but I trust that it is enough to excite us again concerning the right standing we have before God because of what Jesus has done for us. See, we should be excited. When I mention those words again of justification, sanctification, and mortification, and glorification, these subjects should excite us. They should thrill us, because it is of a means of these four things that I'm talking about that we're standing before a holy God. And it is a means of these four things that I'm talking about this morning that we're going to enter into his eternal presence. And we're going to rejoice through him, with him, through the countless ages of eternity. And so these subjects, they shouldn't be ignored. They should be preached. They should be understood, because it's all about the right standing and the right position we have before the holy God. Let's remind ourselves again, read the scripture already, of Romans 8:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, that's good news. But it goes on to say, because we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's amazing. We have peace with the holy God this morning. And it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say, through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Justification is amazing. The whole subject is amazing, because it's only as a result of justification that I can say this morning, it's here in the grace of God I stand. And so to finish, we are justified by faith. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, the means is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Just think of that. The justification means that we're going to be saved from the wrath of God. And grace is the reason behind it all. Romans 3:24. And are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And the source is God himself. Romans 8:22. It is God that justifies. So the next time we'll look at the subject of sanctification. And this gives me a nice problem, because sanctification is the next move in the Bible studies on a Friday evening. And so I won't be doing sanctification in the Bible studies on the Friday evening. I'm going to skip over that one on a Friday and go to the next point. And I'll be bringing the study on sanctification on a Sunday morning because I believe it's an important subject. And it's a much needed subject in the church today and in our hearts and in our lives. And so I believe it's a subject that the wider church needs to hear rather than the few that are there on a Friday evening. What is sanctification? Well, it's an ongoing process of making us more like Jesus. And I want to be more like him. I want to be more like him. Every moment of every day, I want to be less of self and less of the flesh and more of Jesus and more Christ-likeness in my life so that others will see Jesus. And as a result, will want to come to know him. So I close this morning reminding ourselves again of what justification is. It's a right standing before God. Because we've come to know him by faith. And I don't know the condition of everyone's heart this morning. God knows, but I don't know. And I don't know if there's anyone here this morning, as I mentioned at the beginning, that you cannot point back to the day when you can say that you truly surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That moment when you became a Christian. That moment when you allowed Jesus to come and to cleanse you of your sin. And I want to give you opportunity this morning. If you've not made that decision, you can make that decision today. You can be born again by the Spirit of God. You can know what it is to be justified and to know the righteousness of Christ being imputed to you, that you can stand before a holy God in a right way. So let's just bow our heads this morning. And just me looking around. And if you know that you've not given your life to Jesus, and this morning you want to do that, you want to surrender your life to him, then just where you are, raise your hand for me to see you. So that you can accept Jesus this morning. Know him as your Savior and as your Lord. I'm not going to prolong it, just now. Just raise your hand if you want to. If not, we'll hand back over to Sandra. Lord, we want to thank you that we can have that right standing before you. I pray for each one that is here this morning. Lord, that you'd help us to go from you this morning, to just examine our hearts and to ponder about our relationship with you. And should there be anyone that does not have that relationship with you this morning as Saviour and Lord, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would bring conviction into their lives, that they would come to surrender to you. We ask this in Jesus' name.